بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، مع بعض. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that we mentioned in passing in previous weeks and with regards to actually preparing for Ramadan was clearing the slate, especially when it comes to our interactions and the type of rights that other people have over us. If we have been remiss, if we have fallen short, if we have not fulfilled the rights of others, or have wronged or transgressed anyone else in any way, then we want to try to ascertain where that fault may lie in our own selves, and we want to make sure that that's cleared before Ramadan starts. And particularly for many individuals, that actually lies in one category, which is actually very close to home and very often overlooked. And that's with regards to the interactions that we have with our own parents. Right? And there's actually a riwayah that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I pray, you know, salawat khamsa, if I pray the five prayers, aw kama qal, and I fast, right, asum Ramadan, and I fast in Ramadan, wa hajjajtu al-bayt, and I made hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal." Meaning he is doing what he needs to do as a Muslim, right, as a mu'min. And he said, فَمَاذَا لِي? Right, he said, what is it for me? What will I get? And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, right, هو مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That person will be with the Anbiya. He will be with the prophets. He will be with the true. He will be with the martyrs. He will be with the saints. Right? إلا except أن يعق والديه. Right? Except if he was disobedient to his parents. So as we're gearing up for Ramadan, as we're getting ready to really get things in gear, as we want to increase ourselves in tahajjud and ibadah and lead righteous lives and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, at the same time, we have to be very careful that our interactions with our parents doesn't put us in a situation or a category of individuals where it becomes an actual block for any type of transcendent progress within the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a high maqam to the parents, such a high maqam to the parents, such a high maqam to the parents, that it is unbelievable almost. And this is something that was rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself to the parents. So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to honor, whoever He wants us to serve, then since we are slaves to Allah, then we do as we are told. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a judgment. He has ordained. He has made a hukum, right? He has made a verdict. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. That you're not going to worship anyone except for Allah. That's it. لا إله إلا الله. Right? But right after that, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put? What did He associate with the worship of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone? وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Right? And with both your parents, you have to do ihsan. That doesn't mean not being disobedient. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased if we're just not disobedient. What did He say? He says, you're going to worship Me, and with your parents, you're not just going to be okay, you're going to have ihsan. Right? You're going to do ihsan. Your comportment with them, your behavior with them, your interactions with them have to be based on this ihsana. And what is ihsan? It is a type, there's many things which actually come under it. It means that first of all, that person should do birr. Right? They should do good to their parents. It also means that person should have compassion and sympathy. Right? They should be ihsasman. They should have, you know, shafaqah. that when they see their parents, their father is tired, the father doesn't have to say that, son, can you go and mow the lawn? You just go and do it yourself. Right? Shafaqa. Just like when you see a small child, right? And the child is trying to, walk, and the child keeps on falling down, You don't, no one has to come and ask you. There's a shafaqa, right? That comes within the heart. You just walk straight up to the child, pick him up and say that, here, I'll take you where you need to go. That type of shafaqa has to be in our hearts for our parents. And there has to be atf. There has to be, a very soft, a very gentle type of love that we have for our parents. Not a love that is done out of duty, right? But a genuine love we should actually show to our parents. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That if both of your parents, right, or one of them, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبْرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, one of them or both of them, if they grow to old age, right? Even then, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say أُفْ to them. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to bring our attention to talking about those individuals or our parents when they get to an old age? Right? Does that mean if they're younger then we can say whatever we want? Right? Mistreat them? No, understand that what happens is when parents get older, right? Then they get into different types of habits that become much more difficult for us to bear them. So for example, when you've been around older people, they repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Right? The same story they'll say one time, two times, three times. You sit with your dadi, right? He says, oh, chabete, do you remember that this happened? And then the next day you come and she tells you the same story. And they're like, dadi, this is the fifth time you're telling me the same story, right? And then the next day you come and she'll tell you that same story again. Right? The same story again. So like, what is this? So this is one story about the old man, right? An elderly gentleman, he was walking with his son, right? And he asked his son something. So his son, gave him some type of answer. And then he asked him again. And by the third time, the son got irritated. He's like, I just told you, right? So then he took out a book from when he was young, right? And he says that, when you're young, right, when you were young, you asked me the same question this many times. And he had made marks of how many times, right? Baba, when are we going to get there? Baba, when are we going to get there? Baba, are we there yet? Baba, how much longer? Baba, can we take a stop? Baba, are we there now? Now we should be there, right? And he said, I never rebuked you in this manner. Right, never rebuked you in this manner. When people get older, they get senile. They stop making sense, right? Behki behki baate, sometimes they say things, sometimes irrationally they get into a bad mood. You're like, why are you getting mad? I didn't even do anything, right? You didn't do anything. You did all the right things and all of a sudden your parents are mad at you. Like, what's going on there? And then you start getting grumpy, right? You're like, Mom, I didn't even do anything. Why are you getting mad? Right? No. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say أُفْ. Right? Keep it silent. They become grumpy, and on top of that, when your parents are younger, at the end of the day, we're still dependent on them, right? If a person needs anything, they can still always go to mom and dad. Mom and dad will take care of it, right? But what happens is when you get older, then they become dependent on you, right? It becomes a quote unquote boj. It becomes a burden, a responsibility. So when someone becomes a responsibility, they become a little bit disgruntled. And it usually happens when a person is first, now they got their first job, they were waiting for so long, right? They just got married, they have kids, now they want to go out and eat and have a good time and go on vacation. And mom and dad are like, Bete, we're going to feel lonely, can you stay home? And they're like, man, I've been waiting for 15, 30 years to live it up, and now I have to take care of my parents. Right? Now I got to take care of my parents. Right, and Imam Zahabi, he says it so beautifully. He says, how amazing is it? Is that when you were young, and you needed them, right? They served you, hoping that you'd live. And when they get old, and then they need you, you serve them, hoping that they'll die. Right, you just wait for that day so that you can be free, can have a good time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say أُفْ to them. And it actually, some say that if there is anything less, then, and it's been said that if there is anything less than uff, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have forbade from that as well. Right? Meaning that was the least amount. That's the least amount. So these type of statements, let me give you some common statements. Come on. Ah, man. Fine. Right? All of these give taklif to the parents. Right? This is more than uff. Right? Uff is like when your parents say something like, ah. Right? Ah. Right? Or, so when you, ah, man, fine, whatever. Right? These type of statements should not be used with one's parents. You can use it with your friends. Don't use it with your parents. Right? Don't use it with your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, because usually, when person, you're not going to go and swear, you're not going to go hit your parents. Right? So, usually people use their tongue. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Do not rebuke them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not that you just don't say bad things to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا You better say nice words to them. Right? Mama, Baba, are you okay? How are you doing? Mama, you're looking so beautiful today. Right? Baba, you work so hard, I'm so grateful. قُلْ قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا Noble speech, rightful, no, just and upright, soft speech with them. And then after that, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلْ Literally, lower for them the wing of humility. Right? People say that, you know, with my parents, they're really demanding. If I say, okay, ji baba, ji mama, I say everything all the time, yes, 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 they're going to walk all over me. Fine. They're your parents, let them walk all over you. Right? Literally, you're lowering the wing, right? The wing of humility, let them walk over your wing. Right? When it's indicated. What's to go? Right? What's the problem? وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلْ Right? Be very humble. Like, look at Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh. This is the Imam of the time. This is the Imam of the time, right? That most of the world, through the history of Islam, has followed his understanding of the Qur'an and Sunnah. Has followed his understanding of the Qur'an and Sunnah. His mother, when she had some questions, she would say, take me to such and such scholar. Right? Take me to such and such scholar. Her son is Imam Hanifa. She says, take me to this scholar. So he would take his mom, put her on a conveyance, and he'd be walking on the road, and literally people would be standing up, right, for him. Because Imam Abu Hanifa, right, they're like, it's like the big, you know, the big Imam is walking. People would be standing up, and then he would go, and his mother would ask a question to that alim, right, to that person. There's two scholars that she would go to. So she would ask, and then they wouldn't know the answer sometimes. So he would sneak around from the back door, he'd tell them the answer, so that they could tell her, and then she says, ah, this is the right answer, right? And then they would go home. And this continued, right, as long as they were alive. And he never let her catch on. جناح الظل, just humble, right? He didn't say, mom, I can just, why do you have to take you there? I can just tell you, right? She's like, your mom says, oh, you know, take me to, you know, dad auntie's house. She really knows how to do this gardening, right? You're like, mom, I can just look it up on the internet. I'll just do it. No, she's like, no, you really need to go. Mom, you just don't make any sense. If she wants to go, just take her. Right? Just take her. جَنَّةَ ذُلَّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ And then what does Allah say after that? وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا And you say, oh Allah, right, oh my Lord, irhamhuma, have rahmah on them, have mercy on him, kama rabbayani saghira, as they had taken care of me, as they had stayed up in the night for me, as they had fed me, as they had cleansed me, right? Kama rabbayani saghira, when I was in a state when I was small and couldn't take care of myself. Now if you look in the Quran, you don't necessarily see an injunction for parents to make dua for the children, right? So in our, you know, Western-minded thinking, people say, oh, this is not fair. Right? Why do women have to do this and men don't have to do that? Why do men have to do this? Women have to... Everything has to be equal, equal, equal. Right? So why does, you know, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the children that they have to make dua? Why don't know? Because, no, in this time it's funny. Who would make that itiraz? Right? That why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the children? Why didn't He tell the parents? But the way the trend is going in a time, no, this the same itiraz that, oh, why are you telling the women and why are you not telling the men? Right? Who would make those type of itiraz against the Qur'an? It was unthought of in times past. But when the mahul came, like to question, people started questioning that. So tomorrow people start questioning, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell kids Right? And why doesn't he tell the parents? Well, the fact of the matter is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't, you know, request people to do something when it's already understood that it's going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to remind the parents to make dua. It's the children who forget to make dua for the parents, not the parents who forget to make dua for the children. Even if you never tell your parents, right, Ammi, make dua for me, she's not laughing. She's like, I've been making dua for you for 25 years. Right? What are you telling me to make dua for you? I make dua for you automatically. Right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually tells the parents, right, for the parents, he doesn't tell them to make dua. Right, he shows them what dua to make. So, for example, دخل عليها المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. قال يا مريم أن لك هذا. Right, when Zakaria entered upon Maryam and he saw rizq with her, he said, يا مريم أن لك هذا, because these were fruits that were out of season. Right, أن لك هذا. قالت هو من عند الله. It's from Allah. Right, إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. He gives whoever he wants the rizq without any hisab. Right, هنالك دعا زكريا ربه. Right there, on the spot, زكريا عليه السلام started making dua. Right, هنالك دعا زكريا ربه. قال ربي هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة. So the dua that you make. So you see someone else has righteous children, then right there you make your own dua. Right, هنالك دعا زكريا. قال ربي هب لي, give me. قال ربي هب لي من لدنك, from you, ذرية طيبة, righteous children. Right? Imagine if this Nabi made this dua, he gave just when he saw that Maryam alayhi salam had fruits out of season, then he wanted children out of season too, because his wife was beyond the age and he was beyond the age where you could, it was normally that people would have children. Right? It was sort of biologically like an impossibility. But he never lost hope. So similarly, when we see righteous children or good children or a good example, then what we should do, right? You also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me righteous children, and if your children is child is disobedient, then make this dua. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it in a situation of biological impossibility, then why can't I give it in a quote unquote case of psychological impossibility? Like, my kid's never going to come around. Right? That's what some people just get tired. Like, no, he's just rotten. Right? He's rotten to the core. He'll never come around. Tawfiq is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. We make dua. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Anishkur li wali walidayk. Thank me and thank your parents. Now honestly, when is the last time we said thank you mom or thank you dad? Like out of the blue. Right? Out of the blue. Thank you mom for taking care of me when we were young. Right? We just sort of think that we deserve this. Actually, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says there's three things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has associated with three other things in the Quran. And one is not accepted except with the other. One is وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَعَطِيُوا الرَّسُولُ, and obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Meaning if you try and say, I'm obeying Allah, like I take the Qur'an, but I don't follow Rasulullah, that's not going to be accepted. Right? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ. Establish prayer and give zakah. So Imam Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his opinion was that if you're not giving zakah, then your salah is not getting accepted. Right? Not accepted. Whether it's whatever is considered performed is perhaps a separate question, but it's accepted by Allah, right? And the other things, because of this ayah, anishkur li wali walidayk, thank me and thank your parents, that he said that if you don't thank your parents, then your thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be accepted. So everyone, when they go home today, for example, they should get... Sometimes it's uncomfortable, right? Because our parents aren't also not used to it, so, to get so sympathetic, emotional and... intimate, so, send an e-card, right? Send an e-card, right? It's free, right? It doesn't cost you a penny, right? You don't even have to pay a dollar, right? Send them some flowers, right? If you can afford it, just send them some flowers. It's like, what happened to our son, right? What happened to our daughter, right? Where did this come from, right? And you really, like, when you send that one card, right, they'll hold on to it for they'll never delete it from their inbox, right? It'll always just be archived there because Deko, our son, he sent us this email, right? He sent us this email one day. It's a way to show thankfulness. And if you look at hadith, Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Look, we are a salikin, right? We are people who are taking a tariqah to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our goal is to earn the pleasure of Allah, right? We say ridha Allah. To have the pleasure of Allah. This is one of the highest goals that we hold. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Now understand, if you want the ridha of Allah, it comes in riwayah, that the ridha اللَّهِ فِي رِضَى وَالِدَيْهِ. Right? وَالِدِهِ. That the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the pleasure of the father. right? وَسَخَتَ اللَّهِ فِي سَخَتِ وَالِدِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The father or the parents. But the general meaning being that if you're messing up with your parents, right, you're invoking the anger of Allah. And if you want Allah to be happy with you, then you should see if your parents are happy with you. Right? You should see if your parents are happy with you. We are people who are seekers of Jannah. Right? Who in this room? We're working so hard. We take bait, we sit with our shaykh, we're spending time in zikr, we're doing all these things so that we can earn Jannah and earn the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in the Sahih riwayah from Ahmad. La yadkhulul jannata aaq. That a person who disobeys his parent will not enter Jannah. Isn't that clear? This is dukhul awwali, meaning right straight away, he will not enter into Jannah, but this is serious. We are people who are trying to avoid major sins. We try to even avoid the minor sins. Right? See, he says, and it comes in one riwayah, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. Shall I not tell you, with the biggest, the most major of the major sins, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ. Right? To make association or make partners with Allah. Right? وَقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. And to be disobedient with your parents. Right? Put it on number two. We are seekers of reward. A person came to, and this is in both Bukhari and Muslim, if I'm not mistaken. A person came, it's muttafaq alay. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was saying that he wants to make jihad. Right? He wants to fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. He said, ahayyun walidak. Right? Is your father alive? Right? Are your parents alive? Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Na'am, yes, they're alive." I'm paraphrasing. And he says, "Fafihima fajahid," right? Then in them you do your jihad. I mean, do their khidmah. So in that situation, right, where jihad was not fard ayn, perhaps, right? You have to look at the context. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting the khidmah of the parents over participation in jihad, right? And I think it was Bishr Hafi. Right, one of the great saints of times past. He said that if you go close to your mother, right, يَقْرُبُ أُمَّكَ أَنْ يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَهَا, right, كَلَامُهَا, that you go close to her so that you can listen to what she's saying. This is better than going out in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striking with your sword. Right? And then for you to look at her, just to look at her, is better than anything. Right? This is the maqam that our righteous predecessors used to give to their parents. Right? They didn't take it for granted. So, and we want to be, you know, successful in life. Right? Which one of us doesn't want to be successful in life? It comes in one riwayah, like kullu dhunub yuakhirullahu minhu ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah illa uquq al-walidain fa innahu yu'ajjilhu li ashabihi aw kama qala rasulullah li sahibihi aw kama qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That for everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the punishment for that thing, right, except for one thing, right, to the day of yawm al-qiyamah, right, whatever he wants, he can delay it, but one thing he gives you in this life itself, and that's disobedience to your parents. If you become disobedient to your parents, they understand, you know, I think it's Ka'b al-Ahbar. He said that, you know, when you're obedient to your parents, it gives you'll have barakah and you have a longer life. And if you're disobedient, it will, you know, take away from your life. And if you're not obedient to your parents, then, you know, inshallah, your children will be obedient to you. And if you're disobedient to your parents, it's such a pain when your children are disobedient, then you get the pain in your own life. You know, one person, he saw, he was, you know, passing by a way, and he saw a young man, right? A young man down, like taking his father out of the car and like either hitting him or swearing at him, and he's about to throw him off a cliff or something like this. And the person just saw this and he was like awestruck, right? So he's pulled over. He's like, "What are you doing, right? This is your father. Like, why? You can't treat someone like that." And then the father, right, who was, you know, being abused, let's just put it that way, this being abused, this, at least how the story goes to the effect, he said, "Leave him alone. Leave my son alone. Because when I was young, I did the same thing to my father at this spot." Right? What goes around, comes around. So we have to be very careful. It's not only that we're going to get punishment in the Akhirah, right? When you take Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he actually says that it was his opinion that أُنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْعَرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا هُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ وَإِذَا صُرِفَ الْأَبْصَارُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءَ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So, you know about the أصحاب العراف, the people who neither are entering into Jannah, right, nor can they enter into Jahannam. They're like, he said that it's going to be like a mountain. They're going to be the certain people here. So, one opinion is that these are people whose good deeds and bad deeds were equal, right? And so they can't enter into Jannah, they can't enter into Jahannam. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his opinion was these are the people who went in jihad. They died shaheed, they got killed. But they went without the permission of their parents. And because of that, they'll be put on Araf. They won't be entered into Jahannam because they died as shaheed. But because they had gone without the permission of their parents, they won't be able to enter into Jannah. Right? To that extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the maqam of the parent. So, practical things that we want to do. I mean, we should do this with other individuals as well, but we should start at home because this is something really serious when we talk about our own parents. Things we need to do, right? Send your parents an email or give them a call. Or if you want to do it in person and just say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry if I've ever done anything to you. Right? I'm just sorry. Just clear the slate. Parents, inshallah, they'll not hold a grudge. Number two, make it the intention that when you make dua in your salah, that you'll also include them in your dua. Right? Number three, that we should try to be more thoughtful with our parents. For example, you should cherish them, make them feel special, take care of their friends, take care of the people that they take care, that they love. And if our parents ask us something, we should never say no. If they order us, we should just do it. Right? And if they ask us for something, for money, anything, you just give it to them. أَنْتَ وَمَا لُكَ لِيَبِيكَ. Both you and your wealth are for your father. Right? They want something, just give it to them. And so when they tell us something, we should just do it. And the one exception, for example, is that when they tell us to do something against the deen. Right? Because the general principle is, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. That there's no obedience to any of creation. So sometimes a lot of people get in this situation that they understand it's so important, right, to know such a high maqam, right, the parents. But then sometimes the parents, they might tell the people to do something un-Islamic, right? So they say that, don't offer the salah in public because people might think you're a terrorist or something. And they mean well, they just care about you, they don't want you to get in trouble, but salah is fard, right? Or they tell the sister that, no, don't go to the interview with hijab, you're not going to get the job. Or don't go to college with niqab because, you'll get discriminated and you won't get good grades. Fine, you won't get, even if you're not to get good grades, at least you'll get good grades in the akhirah. Right? So for these type of things, you don't really obey your parents, right? You don't get into fight with them, you don't discuss, you don't, again, the same principles apply. We don't even say oof to them, right? You just listen to them. But then you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are. Because first, one of the reasons that we honor our parents is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, right? And if we are, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to listen to them, we listen to them. And when He tells us not to listen to them, then we will not listen to them. Because our first fealty, our fidelity is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. But at the same time, in this month, let us honor our parents. Let's make life easy for our parents. My Sheikh Zulfiqar, Allahu Akbar, he said, his adab was such. He said, there was never a time, right, that my mother was sitting, right, my mother was standing and I was sitting. Right? That my mother was standing and I was sitting. Now, how many times does it happen in Ramadan that Ammi is standing slaving over the stove, cooking all the pakoras and all those things, nice, tasty treats for us, and we're sitting on the iftar waiting for the food to come? Right? That's not appropriate. Right? We should stand by her. You say, Mama, you sit down, you make dua for me, I'll cook. And if you don't know how to cook, learn how to cook. Right? What's the big deal? It's not rocket science. People are becoming doctors and engineers and they're ready to go and study like pre-algebra and calculus, but you can't cook a pakora? Right? You can do it, it's just laziness. No, that's their job. Right? That's their job. Right? We're supposed to serve our parents, not them. They're them supposed to serve us. Right? So let's use this month actually to be in their khidmah and use that as a way to earn the rida of Allah, to earn His pleasure. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ